Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom greetings and welcome to TDM Sunday Fellowship, Tamaya Deliverance Ministry Sunday Fellowship. I am so grateful for you joining our program on today. Well, I want to talk about a topic, and that is come back to me. This is what the Lord is saying to us in this season. So, do you remember the excitement you experienced when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I do. I felt as if I could conquer the world. I wanted all my family, the people that I work with, those that cross my path, my friends, I wanted them all to accept the gift of salvation that I received from Jesus. I enjoyed the special times I spent with him. Not only did I enjoy those times together, I looked forward to the meeting places. As I was developing a relationship with the Holy One, I discovered some things about myself as well. So I cherished those times as me learning to know who this person that accepted me with all of my flaws, that loved me with all of my sins and all of my scars and all of my wounds and all of my hurt. I wanted to know this person that looked past all of my faults, all of my shortcomings, and loved me even when I rejected him. So I learned how to discover a personal relationship with him, not what I've heard preached in church, but what I experienced myself. I realized that when I praise God, I just really show him how grateful I am. He shows me even the more how he cares about me by taking more of the scales off of my eyes. So I learned how to fall in love with someone who loved me unconditionally. But God is saying, come back to me, which tells me somehow we left him. We walked away from the one who is able to keep us from falling. We walked away from the one who puts that hedge of protection around us, the one who gives us directions every single day, the one who releases mercy and grace upon us, the one who, through all trials and all of our circumstances, has remained faithful to us. But we became unfaithful. And even as we are being unfaithful, he's still saying, come back to me. He's not lost hope in us. He's not left us. He's just waiting for us to make up our mind that we're going to turn back to him. So why did we leave? Are so good. There's a saying that the grass looks greener on the other side. And it does. Until you get on the other side and you realize that it's not natural grass. It's probably that artificial turf. Or it may just be green in spots. But we need to understand why did we leave so that we can come back. and make sure that we don't exit again. You know, God is married to the backslider. He wants all his people to reign with him in heaven. So one of the reasons could be the cares of the world. You took your eyes off of God and you start looking at the world. You allowed your heart to be weighed down by the worries of life. Remember, we are in this world. We become brand new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away and we become a new creature. Even when we become that new creature, our eyes have a tendency to wander from side to side. That's why the Bible tells us we've got to put this flesh under subjection. Because the flesh and the spirit are always warring with each other. The flesh wants to feel good, and the spirit wants us to do and please the Father. Do those things that will bring glory to his name. Do those things that will make him shine. So when we take on the cares of this world, we allow our heart to be weighted down by the worries of life. And then you may become tired of always praying and interceding, tired of constantly, every time the church door opens, you're there, whether it's a revival, a church meeting, or you have joined so many different organizations in the church that now you have become so tired, and that excitement of serving God's people now becomes a burden. It makes you tired. Matthew 11 and 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, God says that whatever he gives you will add no sorrow. The gift of salvation should never add sorrow. If anything, we are walking out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We are a part of his kingdom. We are royalty, and whatever he has belongs to us as well. So when we become tired of the things of God, it's time to step back and see, is it what God is requiring of you, or is it something that you chose to do? It looks good. I had someone to say this to me. When I die, I want my obituary to list every auxiliary I was on in the church. And I want them to say how many years I was on the kitchen committee and how many years I was on the pastor aid board and how many years I spearheaded the committee for our church anniversary. And I said to this person, you can have whatever you want on your obituary. The biggest question is this: where are you spending eternity? Are you reigning with him in the place that he's already prepared for you? Or are you going to that place that he tells us we shouldn't be, because he didn't prepare that place for us? He prepared that place for Satan and all of those that followed him. So when we are doing things, are we doing it because God is telling us to do it, Or are we doing it, you know, the third would be self-will. Proverbs 3:7 says, don't become wise in your own eyes. The verses prior to that says that we ought to seek God for everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So sometimes when we leave him, it's because of things that we have done by taking on the cares of the world, by being tired on all of these things that we have formulated in our mind that we should be doing and not consulting God. You know, his will is less and our will is greater. And then there is the fourth, the lustful eyes. John 1:2-16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Remember, Satan wants to be seen, and sometimes your intentions can be great, but it's not the will of God. We need to be in the will of God. God, is this what you want me to do? God, is this is how you want me to do it? Being in the perfect will of God. And then the fifth one would be, you don't even know him. You know, you got caught up. Maybe it was a revival. Or maybe it was a service where the Spirit of God was moving in the place and you felt the tug on your heart and everyone was crying out and rejoicing because they received not only the gift of salvation but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you were just caught up in the crowd. But you never accepted him. You were just caught up. Remember when Saul was in the company of the prophets, the Bible never said that Saul was a prophet, but the Bible stated that he was with the prophet and prophesying, that it didn't make him a prophet. He was just caught up. So we got to make sure that we're not caught up in emotions and feelings, but that we are following Christ. And we're following him with our whole heart. I want to take you to the scriptures that the Lord gave me when he says, come back to me. And that is in Revelation. I am going to read it, and it's going to come from the New King James Version. And then I'm also going to read it in the Message Bible as well. So Revelation 2:1-7. First, it's going to be in the New King James Version. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say that they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You got caught up in so many things, even though you were doing the things of God in doctrine. You read the scripture. You're following a commandment. All of that, all of your actions, your heart wasn't where it needed to be. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you've been doing the work. You've followed his commandments, but you left your first love. And it wasn't intentional. You just got caught up with the cares of the world. Or you took on too many things, none of which God asked you to take on, and it became a burden. And you just turned and decided, this is just too much. So here is Revelation 2, 1 through 7 from the Message Bible. Write this to Ephesus, to the angel of the church, the one with seven stars in his right fist, grip, striding through the golden seven lights, circle says, I see what you've done, your hard, hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage in my cause, that you never wear out. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you have fallen? A Lucifer's fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste, for I'm well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. You do have this to your credit. You hate those things that I hate. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. I'm about to call each conquerors to dinner. I'm spreading a banquet of tree of life fruit, a supper plucked from God's orchid. That was from the Message Bible. God is requiring us to come back to him, come back to the first love. It doesn't matter how you left. Now, what's important that you do come back. The first thing you need to do is just repent. And repenting is not that hard. Repent means that, look, I've acknowledged what I've done. I've messed up. There is no if, and, or doubt about it. I have fallen, but I'm going to get up. I'm not going to lay down in my mess. I'm going to tell you, God, all that I have done because, one, there is no secret with you because you are God and God Almighty. So I'm repenting of all of my transgressions, all of my iniquities, all of my sins because I don't want you to take your presence away from me. I don't want you to turn your back that you don't even want to see me. I don't want you to turn a deaf ear to my prayers because I need you. I can't do this on my own. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. So God, I am ready to come back to you. You know, in Psalm 51, David starts off by asking God to have mercy. He says, have mercy on me, oh God. It's what God is wanting us to do. He wants us to come back to him, but we got to come back with a spirit of humility. Our heart has to be humble. We have to acknowledge that it is God that has kept us. It is God who extended his arm to pull us out of every bondage, out of every situation that was there to kill us. We know in John 10:10, it says that the enemy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but God comes to give us life and give us a life that's abundant. So God, who is generous in love, is saying, look, I know you've left me. You may not have known. And you know, there are circumstances where you can be so busy thinking you're doing the work of the Lord. And it's not that you don't love God, but that's not what God is requiring of you right now. He wants you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want you tired. He doesn't want you worn out. Why? Because those are all traps of the enemy. Because when you're worn out, you're so tired, you can't pray. Sometimes the only thing you can say is Jesus, which is good because something happens when you call on the name of Jesus. But God wants you rested. He wants you in a position where you are really eating from the land of milk and honey. So God, who is generous in his love and gives us grace always, wants us to just come back to him by one, repenting. By two, having that open dialogue with God. You know, tell him, you know, God, you know, I've messed up, but I'm determined not to stay where I'm at, determined to get up. I'm determined to get back in this race because we know that the race is not for the swift, but it's for the one that can endure for the end. And then God wants us to study his word. See, we've got to know every trick, every plan, and every plot of the enemy. He has a way of taking situations and making them look so enormous, and they're really not. That's why the Bible says that he comes in like a roaring lion. So in other words, he's pretending to be something that he's not. See, the greater one resides on the inside of you. So you don't have to stay in that state that you're in. Okay, yes, so you may have left God. Come on back. Because that's what he's saying. Come back to me. He's not condemning you that you're gone. He wants you to come back. He said, come back while you have time. Come back, because when you do, you're going to come back repenting. You're going to come back and say, you know, God, you used to wake me up in the wee hours of the morning, and I used to roll out of bed and knowing I had to be to work maybe 6 o'clock in the morning. You wake me up at 1 o'clock, and I get back up at my appointed time to get up, and I don't feel no ways tired. I feel refreshed because I'm in your perfect will. Or God, you know, too, we need to obey him, not just repent. We got to obey God. And so that's like he's telling you to get up and pray. Or he's telling you, I'm putting you on the fast. Because we know that some things are only destroyed through prayer and fasting. And you say, well, God, I've got all these health challenges. I can't fast. But don't you know God will give you the type of fast that you need? Maybe you just need to fast for an hour. And I'm not talking about fasting from food, maybe an hour fasting from the internet, from the telephone, just giving God that time where you can sit in his presence and just listen to him. sometimes just sitting in his presence and allowing him to refill you, to restore you. The third thing, as we're coming back to him, we need to study the scriptures. We need to know without a shadow of a doubt what God has equipped you for. You need to realize that you've got the power to speak life into any situation. You have the power to control what happens on your block by saying that this block belongs to the Lord. The same way my house serves God, the same way everybody on this block will serve God. So study to show yourself approved, not to man, but unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then fourth, show gratitude. Tell God how grateful you are. Not only do you have a roof over your head, you have your right mind. You know who you are. You are a part of his kingdom. You are a part of the puzzle. You're that missing link that is needed. Remember, we are many bodies, but we're one members. We're in his army. You have the ability to declare and decree things and watch it come to pass. You know that when you open your mouth and you tell, hallelujah, the devil that you know who God is and you know who God is in your life, he gets confused. That's why we should always praise him. Always rejoice. The Bible says to rejoice. And then the scripture says, and again, I say rejoice. Why? Because the battle has already been won. You just got to get it in your spirit. You just have to get it in your mind that God is with you. And those that are against you, they should be really, really afraid. Because God will fight your battle. So come back to him. Come back to the one that is able to keep you from falling. Come back to the one that loves you with an everlasting love. Come back to the one, glory to God, that can shelter you, the one that can shield you, the one who has your back covered and tells you to put on the whole armor. Come back to him. Lift up your voice and realize that God, the same God that washed you afresh when you first came to him, is the same God that can take off that filthy garment when you repent and say, God, I'm coming back. Be like that deer at the water's brook that is panting after you. I want to run. Hallelujah. I want to run after you. Because as I draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to me. And I'm only here, oh God, to do your will. So come back to God. I pray this has been a blessing unto you. If you need prayer, please, excuse me, please call our church at 985-788-7530, 985-788-7530. Until the next time, realize with Jesus, nothing is impossible. You just believe. Have an awesome, awesome week in Jesus and know that he is with you, he is for you, and he is fighting on your behalf.